Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we take a look at chronic fatigue syndrome with Annette Whittemore, president and founder of the Whittemore Peterson Institute, and Dr. Donica Moore. Plus, on the Power Pundit panel today, Bob Berengo, former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The people in Washington are finally talking seriously about reducing federal spending. President Obama and Harry Reid tell us we've made real progress on $100 million of spending reductions. $100 million sounds like a lot of money. Our brain hears $100 million, and we think that's a big pile of money from an even bigger pile of money. Here's a way to think about it. So let's say these five pennies represent $2 billion. And all of these represent what the federal government spends in a year. Of the $3.6 trillion, there are pieces that politicians don't like to really talk about. Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid, defense, and interest on the $12 trillion of debt we already have. And of that $3.6 trillion, about 40% is what we borrowed just this year. So this is the spending reduction Washington's proposing. We take one of these, and we do this. And this is Washington's idea of spending reduction from all of this. That's Washington's idea of saving money. Maybe it's time we send a businessman to Washington. I'm John Chachas, and I approve this message, paid for by Chachas for Nevada.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
This segment brought to you by the law firm of Kempfer Kroll, with offices in Reno, Carson City, and Las Vegas. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam
Shad. Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome back to the program Annette Whittemore. She's the president and founder of the Whittemore Peterson Institute. And by phone, we're joined by Dr. Donica Moore, who has become a spokesman for the Institute and its activities. Pleasure to have both of you ladies on the program.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. Let's start out, Annette, talking about chronic fatigue and its effects on children and teenagers. What are the signs? What should people be looking for?
Well, I think, first of all, your child is going to change quite a bit in character. Usually in smaller children, you're going to notice behavioral changes, you're going to notice complaints, you're going to notice sleeping difficulties or sleeping unusual hours. Oftentimes they're going to complain of headaches, sore throats. They're ill. And the biggest problem is it looks a lot like the flu. It usually comes on as an acute infection, but it doesn't really resolve. And so you might see them either feeling a little bit better from day to day, but then they're back down and you're back at the doctor's office. That is one of the ways that you can, that's one of the signs that you really need to look for to recognize that this child needs to get to the doctor.
And what's the difference between a regular childhood version of those things and knowing that it's something more than that, i.e. chronic fatigue?
And I would really say it's the severity of the symptoms. A child isn't going to, they're going to wake up the next day after a full night's sleep and still be tired and still be achy, and they're not going to go out and play like they normally do. If we're talking about a teenager, of course, they're going to be able to verbalize things that are going on and how they feel, and you're going to notice they're going to be significantly ill.
I've noticed over the last couple of years, and it really has only been over the last couple of years, that the medical profession is starting having to deal with it. That you talk to a doctor and you say fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, and they actually have a sense. How much of a sense do they have at this point, and how much more education do the general doctors need?
Well, I think they're doing they're becoming much more aware. And there is a lot more material out there. With the new finding with XMRV, for instance, I think we've definitely had some worldwide attention on this disease.
No kidding.
and that's been really helpful.
And this is the retrovirus.
Yes.
That was discovered at WPI.
And I think that's been wonderful in that sense. It has brought this disease to the forefront. And a lot of doctors now, I think, are beginning to ask more questions and to look into it more seriously.
Dr. Donica, the autism community has a saying that says, care before you need to, and you had an interest in CFS and then discovered that it was in your family. Would you talk a little bit about, first of all, how you became interested in this, and then how it affected you personally?
Basically, I've always been very interested in and committed to women's health issues in general, particularly those issues that have been misdiagnosed, underdiagnosed, underdetected, or undertreated. My particular pet peeve are doctors who dismiss women or men who have chronic complaints with the, you know, it's all in your head, dear. And this was one of those diseases. So in 1992, I was the founding chairman of the National Congress on Women's Health, and we decided to do a seminar as part of this Congress called It's Not All in Your Head. And one of the major diseases we focused on was chronic fatigue syndrome. So I talked about it on and off and wrote about it a fair bit until in 1999, lo and behold, my own husband, who had previously been a triathlete and exercised every day no matter what, came down with a flu-like illness which did not resolve. And ultimately, he was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. Several years later, in, I would say about 2004, my son Brian was in the same exact situation. He was 100% well. He was a top athlete. And he, my daughter and I, all came down with a flu-like illness at the same time. My daughter and I got better in about 7 to 10 days, and my son never recuperated. And that's pretty much the story that we hear in about 90% of patients, that they were generally well until a flu-like illness or some other event. In a minority of patients, that event might be head trauma or a car accident, a surgery, giving birth to a child, but the overwhelming high percentage of patients with chronic fatigue syndrome begin their journey with a flu-like illness.
And I'm addressing this question to Annette. Your daughter, Andrea, has been suffering with this for many, many years. It's very difficult to deal with in a severe form.
It is, and especially when they're younger, because at that time, they're growing so rapidly, and social interaction is critical. It is so important to them, and yet this disease creates a huge isolation from your friends, from your family's activities, and from all of the normal activities that children engage in, the sports activities and so forth, and especially school. They miss a tremendous amount of school, and the family is basically charged with trying to figure this whole thing out.
And it's a day-by-day thing, isn't it, in severe cases?
Absolutely. Many times it's an hour-by-hour. And you might get a good hour and then 2 hours that are just terrible and another half hour that's good. So it certainly is one of those things that is very, very difficult to handle at home and at school.
All right, let's take a break. More with Annette Whittemore and Dr. Donica Moore when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen. Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10000.com.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
This segment brought to you by the law firm of Kempfer Kroll, with offices in Reno, Carson City, and Las Vegas. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Annette Whittemore, the president and founder of the Whittemore Peterson Institute, and Dr. Donica Moore, who has been acting as a spokesman for the Institute. Let's talk a little bit more about XMRV, the retrovirus that was discovered about a year ago. There have been quite a bit of controversy around the world with people trying to replicate the studies and not finding the same results. And this is not making you happy. Why?
Well, first of all, a replication study would use the exact same methods, and so we can't really call them replication studies. What they've tried to do is design a study that was a little bit different from ours and see if they can actually find the virus. And this really comes down to just testing technique. So we really truly believe that all the resources that are going into this for the federal government right now and all of the exciting interest, the new papers that are coming out, there have been 23 new papers on XMRV since our paper in October, really tells the story. It's just a matter of time before others, and before actually we develop a test that everyone can do very easily and very rapidly.
What percentage of patients tested from Nevada have had the ended up having that retrovirus?
Well, when you say patients, it depends upon the group of patients, but if you're talking about chronic fatigue syndrome, out of the group that we studied, and then we did all four of the different kinds of tests, by the time you add those together, we came up with 99 out of 100.
That's
and we've
remarkable.
Tested another 500 to 600 that have been positive. So we're seeing a very significant correlation between the two.
Dr. Donica, when you look at this, can you look at it also from the politics? Because around the world, there are some that say that there will be a great cost to other governments, especially ones like Britain that have a national health service, if they were to go ahead and say, yes, XMRV is a retrovirus and is causing this problem?
Well, I think the bigger issue is what's the cost of not knowing the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome, and what is the cost of not knowing the treatment? And the fact is, we don't even have that information, but it's probably in the billions of dollars. I think what we have to focus on is the scenario in the United States. As much as I care about patients around the world, we have to start at home. And we can't make our scientific policy and our scientific research plans and research funding based on other countries being afraid that they're going to have to bear a bigger burden of the cost for their disabled people. And if they're going to commit to supporting disabled people, they should commit to supporting all disabled people. Now, interestingly, back to the issue of children and chronic fatigue syndrome, a paper just came out a week ago in the journal Pediatrics, and it's a very small paper. There are only 25 children with chronic fatigue syndrome in this paper. But one of the key findings in this paper showed that the quality of life for the children with chronic fatigue syndrome was worse than that was compared to previously published studies of kids with type 1 diabetes or asthma. Now, this is the kind of thing that people need to understand, is that this disease causes significant disability, significantly impaired quality of life. And, of course, there's a tremendous cost of treating, but there's an even bigger cost of not treating.
Annette, let's talk about Senator Reid's involvement and Dr. Francis Collins, the head of the NIH, which you had the opportunity to have several conversations with. How much are they being able to help in terms of funding, in terms of publicizing this?
Well, first of all, Senator Reid has been phenomenal and has been an advocate for these patients for years and years, not just recently with the WPI. But he has continued to be supportive and to help us get our communications across. So I was able to send in a request to Francis Collins, the NIH director, and did get a reply. And I think that the reply is basically, we need to wait and see. And certainly, you're on our minds. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. And we're going to be moving this agenda forward. So he's been a part of supporting a new international workshop on XMRV that'll be happening, I believe, in September. So
read between the lines of what he's saying, though.
He's saying right now it's still up in the air, but you've certainly brought this to my attention, and that's important. You know, this is one disease out of thousands that I'm sure that he's dealing with all the time. So I'm encouraged by that.
Dr. Donica, how should parents of kids with chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia plan for the future? What kind of options should they have?
Well, that's a great question, because one of the biggest frustrations is we can't plan for the future. If I had known when my son became ill that it was going to last this long, and my son is he's a 16-year-old high school junior, he's been sick with this for over 5 years, I would have made very different decisions about his schooling and his overall treatment than I did at the time when I kept hoping it was going to get better. We don't have a crystal ball. The only study that's available on the long-term follow-up of children that I know about is a study Dr. David Bell did well more than 10 years ago, which looked at 225 children. And as far as medical studies go, that's a very small group. And they found that 50% of them got a little better after 2 years. 25% of the remainder got a little better after 6 years. 25% of the remainder got worse, and 25% stayed the same. So when I read that 5 years ago, I was devastated, thinking that my son might be sick for 6 years, and I couldn't even think of the possibility that it would be forever. But right now, if you told me that when 6 years came, he would be well, I would take that bet in a minute. So we can't plan. My son, every other one of my children's classmates are planning for college. We don't know if he can go to college, and he's the number one student in his class, but he can barely get across the street to go to high school. But the other very important thing you mentioned, and this is a semantic issue,
and we've got about 10 seconds
here. Very important is the difference between saying somebody has chronic fatigue versus chronic fatigue syndrome. Calling chronic fatigue syndrome, or CFS, chronic fatigue is like calling tuberculosis chronic cough, or calling Parkinson's disease chronic shaking. Chronic fatigue syndrome is a very complex neuroimmune disease that has so many sequelae and so many side effects and consequences and other organ system failures well beyond its primary symptom of fatigue. And that fatigue is not, I'm tired, I don't feel like playing soccer today. That fatigue is, I don't have the energy to lift a water bottle.
And Dr. Donica,
or
that's where we have
the energy to get to the bathroom.
Doctor, we are way over time here. I thank you so much for joining us. Annette, thank you so much for being here. So much more to talk about, and we'll have you back before the opening of the Institute coming up.
Thank you
up
so
in
much,
August.
Sam.
Always a pleasure.
We'll
be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
On the next face-to-face, it's a debate you've waited for. The Republicans out to defeat Harry Reid go face-to-face. Sharon Angle, John Chachas, Chad Christensen, Sue Loudnan, Danny Tarkanian square off.
At Bobby Page's Cleaners, you might not expect a longtime family business such as ours to be so progressive. But the truth is, we're committed to serving you with the finest equipment featuring the latest technology. In fact, our system is so advanced it will even send you a text message the moment your cleaning is ready. Bobby Page's Dry Cleaning and Shirt Laundry, where our approach to cleaning is state-of-the-art.
Are you one of the thousands of Americans who've been touched by mesothelioma? If you're a victim of mesothelioma, it's likely that exposure to asbestos is to blame. The dangers of asbestos have been reported for nearly 100 years. So while companies in the asbestos industry understood the risks, many failed to protect their workers. If you're a victim of mesothelioma, don't wait to take action. Start planning for your family's future. Call 1-800-793-0388 now. That's 1-800-793-0388. I am a non-attorney spokesperson.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are going to now have a conversation with Bob Borrego. He's the former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly. Pleasure to have you back on the program,
sir. Thank you, Sam. Good morning.
An interesting day as we tape this. This is primary day in three states. We're looking at Arkansas, Pennsylvania, and Kentucky. Senator Blanche Lincoln, the Democrat, if she doesn't get more than 50% right. of the vote, she's going to have to go into a runoff there. Your thoughts on her and Arkansas?
I think that you're right. I think she's going to have to go into a runoff. That one candidate is just strong enough to pull off a few points, which will toss she into the race with the lieutenant governor there, and they'll have their runoff.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, at this point, to have the letter I after your name as incumbent is not a good thing.
As we see across the news media, it is not a good thing, and it's as it was across the pond in England also. It's the same.
Well, you know, with the both parties pulling to the extremes, where's the room to govern?
Well, as a former legislator, that's how you have to govern, is in the middle and make compromises, and I don't see how that's happening. We're going this way.
So what do you end up seeing? A two-year period, perhaps a four-year period where nothing gets accomplished?
Well, you know, some people think not much has been accomplished this year anyway. And maybe to some people, nothing is good. You know, no government actions are good.
Well, one of the old jokes is that, you know, it's good in Nevada that we have a system where the legislature only meets every other year, because that way they can't spend more money.
But right, exactly.
It's only a joke. Now, Arlen Specter became a Democrat. Now he's running for re-election, and he's in big trouble, too.
Yes, and those ads that they are running against him, showing Bush supporting him, showing Obama supporting him, and him flipping, that Sestak has done a wonderful job with those ads.
And the likelihood is he'll be gone. Interesting in Kentucky, where Rand Paul, the son of Ron Paul, is running and is getting tremendous support from the Tea Party. Do you think he has enough support to be able to pull this off?
I think he's going to do pretty well from what I've seen. But I have also noted in the last few days some really big Republican heavyweights have shown up there to lambast him.
Well, yeah, because he's not the chosen right. one of Mitch McConnell.
Right.
But, you know, this Tea Party Express in California that's been supporting Sharon Angle has certainly moved the numbers there. And with Ron Paul's popularity, do you think that Rand can pull this off?
Well, look what Ron Paul did in Nevada. I mean, he came into here and did very well. And I think that his son will do even better, because he seems to be more reasonable candidate than his father.
Well, it's a matter of opinion, but
yes.
you know, it's interesting. And I got to interview Ron Paul several times during his presidential bid. And once you get past the what seems like a kooky headline and start talking about the details and the length of time over which his ideas would come to fruition, he actually makes a lot more sense.
No, I think
other people think. What do you think about, you know, the Supreme Court ruling that allowed unlimited money to come in from corporations and from unions? It's really had an effect in Nevada.
I haven't noticed that it has an effect I've read that decision, and I thought it was a very well-reasoned decision. And I'm surprised of the amount of discord it has raised, because it is really a protection of our constitutional rights of free speech. And it's a very well-read decision.
But, I mean, you've seen the Tea Party spending huge amounts of money, as I said, on behalf of Sharon Engel. You've seen the group Campaign for Nevada Jobs spending a large amount of money against Brian Sandoval. I mean, it really is amazing, really, what we've seen here.
But I don't see where that spending is what they have been upset about. They were talking about all the corporations can come in and spend. GM can spend, or not Government Motors anymore, but, you know, other corporations can spend. We haven't seen that. We've seen independent expenditures being set up to do it with large money from wherever they get it. But I don't see it's exactly on. We've had this in the past here anyway. These large out-of-state groups have come in well-funded and spent money.
But do you expect once the primary is over that we're going to see a lot more money coming in?
I think that there will be a lot more. We'll see a ton of money in the Senate race.
And we won't want to turn on the radio and watch TV for a long time.
No.
Which does not help me. All right. Thank you so much for being here, Bob.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The doctor came in. I was still waking up from anesthesia. He leaned over my bed and he said, "Laura, you have cancer." And he walked out of the room. The first thought is, what's going to happen to my children?
It's pretty rare for a person as young as me to get Hodgkin's disease. Well, you would think, am I going to be here next year? Am I going to be able to spend more time with my family? And that was really hard.
The doctor says, I would like to have his wife, his pastor, and his two best friends present. Then you know you're about to receive really bad news. There was very little hope given to us.
I just wanted this cancer out of me. I wanted to take care of it and move on.
We saw an ad on TV for Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And when I called them, I was very surprised that they were so quick to help us.
The second that we walked through the door, I knew that was the place that I wanted to be. If it wasn't for their kindness and giving, it would be unbearable to be able to go through something like that. And I honestly don't know how people who don't get that are able to handle it.
We were looking for medical care that would help us fight cancer, not manage it, but to actually fight it and beat it. And that's what we found.
Most people thought that that was a death sentence. I knew that I wanted to fight this. I knew I wasn't going to let that happen to me.
If you're a winner and you're a fighter and you're strong, you're going to stay that way. Your mental makeup, your attitude that you've taken your whole life with you, you're going to keep that attitude.
I said, let's just do it, you know, and let me go on with my life.
Call now and we'll send you this free DVD that shows you how the most compassionate group of people anywhere puts you at the center of everything we do. Advanced medical treatment combined with unique supportive therapies give you treatment options you may not even know exist.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is the way of the future. Patients are now taking control of their own healthcare destiny.
I truly wondered when he had cancer if I would ever get him back. Thanks to Cancer Treatment Centers of America, I have my husband back.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. On an